What we're going to look at here this morning is something that the Lord has been just freshly stirring in my heart. You could say this came out of family devotions, actually. As a family, because my kids are all very young, when we do family devotions, oftentimes we'll pick a psalm or a proverb, and in order to help keep them engaged as we're reading that passage, my wife and I will pick a word. You know, it might be something like righteousness or wisdom, something like that. And we'll tell the kids, okay, I want you to notice how many times this word is used. Count up how many times in a passage. So, you know, you read Proverbs 8 or something like that. Okay, count wisdom. And so they're listening because they're trying to remember how many wisdoms. And as we were driving from the Midwest out here over the last couple of days, Gilbert, my oldest, kept asking me, Dad, can we read Genesis 1? And count up how many times God is in Genesis 1. And he asked me this for two days in a row. And so finally, on Friday morning, I said, okay, we'll go ahead and do that. And so we turned it on an audio recording of Genesis, and we all tried to listen to how many times God is used. And as we were listening, God just began to stir and confront and convict me. And so what I would like to do for this afternoon session, this is more of a topical message, as it were, topical challenge. But if you were to look down at Genesis chapter 1, and you were to try to read and count how many times God is found in that first chapter, you'd find a lot. Can you look at it? Look at the text. If you just look in verse 1, God created. Verse 2, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3, and God said. Verse 4, and God saw. Later on in verse 4, and God divided. Verse 5, and God called. If you look down at verse 6, and God said. Verse 7, and God made. And it continues like that through the entire chapter. In 31 verses, that's how much chapter 1 is, God is found 32 times. So if you average that out, that's just over one time every verse. And as we were reading through that, I kept hearing this repetition, and God said, and God said, and God called, and God blessed, and God said, and this is what the Lord began to stir in my heart. I am the God who speaks. Genesis is meant to reveal who our God is. And He is a God who speaks. I want to ask you this afternoon, have you heard Him recently? Jesus said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Because of theological carefulness, I believe that we have distanced ourselves inadvertently from the reality God is a God who speaks. The Pentecostals are very familiar with the fact that the Scripture describes God as a God who speaks to people. And because the Pentecostals have had a lot of strange fire coming out of their movement at times, we, who are wanting to be theologically accurate, can look at certain trappings and say, that's scary, that's dangerous, we don't play with serpents or whatever the case may be, and we can actually turn off key, relevant passages of Scripture and get so theologically accurate that we miss a precious element of God's relationship with us. And that is, from the moment of salvation, that was a call. We don't mean that just in the ethereal sense of us feeling a tug or there was vision for our life. I believe God spoke to your dead spirit, convicting you of your need for salvation. And then when you called out in faith, His Spirit regenerated your spirit. And now the living Spirit who speaks lives inside your spirit, and the God who speaks, and Jesus who spoke the creation into existence, and the Spirit of God who speaks lives inside of you, intending to speak? Do you take time to listen to the God who speaks? Has it been a long time since you've heard his voice? Have you grown accustomed to not hearing him distinctly? Or could I put it this way? Have you grown accustomed to being okay with not having a regular communication with Jesus? I was preaching at a church last year, and I want to be careful because I don't want to give negative illustrations, but this situation, I guess, opened my eyes to the state of our movement at times. I was preaching at a church, and I made the statement that the Lord spoke to me. So this, something was happening, and I was working through something, and the Spirit of God just spoke to me and said, Caleb, you, da-da-da-da, and I heard the Lord, and I talked, I said, okay, yes, Lord, you're right, and I continued on. And that statement alarmed the church. And a number of people went to the pastor, and then the pastor called me into his office, and we sat down, and he said, you said the Spirit spoke to you. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, my people want to know what that sounds like. And there was, he was being honest, but there was maybe a little bit of cynicism or snarkiness in the comment. And long story short, we ended up losing a meeting out of that, and it really bewildered me. And I found out later that that church had been split by Pentecostal doctrine. And the church is now on edge about anybody talking about a living relationship with the Spirit of God. And I understand the desire to be theologically accurate, but I am afraid that it is men and women in our movement that we have, because of our theological precision, have gotten used to not hearing his voice or disregarding his voice as strange fire. If you want to hear the Lord's voice, one man put it this way, how do you hear the Lord's voice? Well, do you know what it sounds like or what it feels like to be convicted of sin? Have you felt that one? How do you describe that to someone? You respond in a message and you go back and you sit back down in your pew and your son says, Daddy, why did you go forward? And you say, well, God convicted me because I've not been treating mom right and I needed to confess that. Dad, what did that feel like? Well, it was like, Dad, what did that sound like? How did the Spirit speak to you? Well, it was, I don't know. I just knew that message and way I've been living, I knew I was wrong and God spoke to me. And see, some spiritual matters, it's really hard to put them into our two-dimensional, three-dimensional world because it's a spiritual reality, but it's no less a spiritual reality. And I think sometimes because it's a struggle to put it into terms that are understandable, then we use words like spoke and God speaks to us, and people get confused by that. And so we veer away from it, and then we get used to living outside of the prompting of the Spirit. But if you have heard the Spirit of God's voice and conviction, you've heard his voice. And may I challenge you to listen to that voice? A friend of mine in college put it this way. He said, God is current. And if he has convicted you over a hindering sin, if you have not dealt with it, he is not going to lead you into other ministry blessings until he has first dealt with the area that you've been resisting him in. Just like Jonah, who ran from God, and when God allowed him to be swallowed by the whale, brought him back to the shores that he had left and said, now go do what I called you to do. Is it possible that you've grown dull of hearing the Spirit's voice because some time ago he convicted you about a step that you said no to? Do you find yourself cynical when someone talks about the Spirit speaking to them? It may reveal a subtle resentment in your heart towards God because you tried to pursue him in your younger years and felt you couldn't find him, you felt you couldn't understand him, you felt you couldn't hear him. So then every time some person talks about hearing the Holy Spirit, you find yourself wanting to resist that because you didn't get to feel it for yourself. Now, I hope that that's not the case, but for too many believers, it is. There's a man by the name of Henry Blackaby that wrote a book entitled Experiencing God. It's a very, very helpful book in the practical process of seeing where God is at work and joining him in the process of God's work in our world around. He said he was speaking at a large conference, and a man who had been a theological professor at a large denominational college came to him. He's a man in his 70s, came up to him weeping, and he said, "Dr. Blackaby, when I was a young man, I tried to be in tune with the Holy Spirit's voice. It didn't seem to work for me." He said, "So for the last 3 decades in my classes and in my lectures, I have discouraged anyone from trying to hear the Spirit of God's voice because I couldn't hear it." And he said, "God has dealt with me that I have discouraged others out of the bitterness of my own soul." Have you resisted the concept of hearing God speak to you because of self-protection? Or again, trying to guard against theological error? I am so comforted by the fact that the Scripture reveals God as a God who speaks. Psalm 46:10, you're familiar with this verse. The Scripture says, "Be still and know that I am God." For Caleb, speaking personally, the times that I grow dull of hearing is when I get too busy. When the schedule becomes so consuming and the priorities that ought to be second and third tier become primary, when scheduling and studying and paying bills and trying to look good for pastors, when that becomes my focus, I rarely have time to listen to the Lord of harvest, and I grow dull of hearing. I believe busyness in America and in the American church is one of the primary reasons we have forgotten how to hear his voice. So then we're left to try to mechanize ministry to make it productive through sheer human effort instead of going back and saying, "Spirit who speaks to the churches, we want to hear what you have to say." The Bible describes in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, as the Word of God being alive. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." What is the Scripture revealing? God, who is a God who speaks, has given us a word that speaks. And this word, though it is a very, very old book, is a current living book, according to Hebrews 4. It's so alive that even today in 2025, though this book is some 4,000 years old, portions of it, this book still speaks with authority beyond what a preacher could ever give it. We were talking at lunch briefly, but God has been dealing with me so much about the fact that I have not trusted God's word to be the sword that it truly is. Sometimes when someone calls me, a young man calls me to get counsel, I rack my brain for the best human wisdom that I can provide instead of saying, "Lord, what would you have them to understand from your word?" If you ever lead a Bible study, give the word its just deserts. Don't supplement the word's power with your logic. You can let the word speak for itself. So on that note, may I ask you, do you spend time in the cleansing, washing, living word? I was at a church in Florida. The pastor, it's a fairly large church, and a lot of people talk about that church as being a mature church. And the pastor called me over before one of the services and showed me this big board that they had up on the back of the auditorium or in the hallway outside of the auditorium. And he said, look at this. He said, "This is our Bible reading chart." He said, every person in the church has got their name on this, and they come in there, put their stickers on where, how far they've gotten their reading. And he says, "You know, Caleb, if we didn't have this chart up here to motivate people, most of my church wouldn't even read their Bibles." Now, when I'm talking about another church, it's easy to be like, "Oh, can't believe that." But may I ask you, if God is a God who speaks, who's living inside of you, who has a living word to comfort and correct and deal and give hope and promises to. Do you give time daily to the word that speaks? In the New Testament, we see several illustrations of God speaking to his people. Paul, because of a thorn in the flesh, was under such difficulty and concern, went to the Lord three different times asking that God would remove this thorn in the flesh. And the text explicitly says, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." God is a God who speaks to his people. In Acts chapter 16, Paul is trying to discern with the men in his entourage. They want to go to Asia to minister. They want to go to Bithynia to minister because there's needs everywhere. And Paul is striving to go, wanting to go. And the scripture specifically says that the Spirit of God halts him, suffers him not to go, I think is the King James language. In other words, the Spirit of God stops him. The Spirit of God speaks. Now, we could preach a whole or look through it at a whole message on that one because that's a fascinating concept, isn't it? Is there ever a wrong time to give the gospel? According to Acts chapter 16, there was. God did not want them to go to Asia. That wasn't his plan. But doesn't the God want the gospel to go to Asia? Yes, but the Spirit had a different route for Paul. And the Spirit speaks. Have we tried gospeling and witnessing without listening to the voice of the Spirit? You know, the voice of the Spirit is counterintuitive. He operates differently than we think, which is why we must listen to him. I'll give you an illustration here and I'll wrap this up. I'm a huge fan of Oswald Chambers. He's one of my favorite authors. And in Oswald Chambers, if you're familiar with that name, My Utmost for His Highest, if you've heard of that devotional, that's the work of that is Oswald Chambers' words. He, in his biography, his biographer gives an illustration that when Oswald was a young man in Bible college wrestling with God's vision for his life, Oswald had gone to visit an old shepherd in Scotland. This shepherd was a man who had mentored him, a very deep spiritual man. And Oswald, a young man trying to soak up as much about how to walk with God as possible, went to visit the Scottish shepherd. They're walking through the fields one afternoon, and the Scottish shepherd, an old gentleman, turns to Oswald and says, "Oswald, if the Spirit would give you permission to talk to my hand, his employee, about the gospel, please do so." Oswald turns to him and says, "Sir, I am shocked that you, a spiritual man, have not already given the gospel to that young man." And the man turned to Oswald and said, "The man who does not understand the permission of the Holy Spirit does not know the Holy Spirit." Now that's counterintuitive. Because I believe we have gotten to the place in fundamentalism where we have so figured out how ministry works that we think if we do all the right things the way we're taught in Bible college, then things should just work and we don't need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now we would never say that out loud, but the way we live often reveals we believe something different. Do you start your day saying, "Spirit of God, speak to me, guide me"? Do you filter decisions through the Spirit who speaks? Do you ask God and refuse to move forward until the Spirit speaks? I'm asking all of these questions to simply challenge us this afternoon that God is a God who speaks. In Psalm 77, and I'm done, in Psalm 77, David goes to the Lord in prayer, banking upon the fact that God is a God who speaks and God is a God who listens. He is a person. He wants to speak to us. Would we even this week set aside some quiet time, maybe a walk, maybe a drive, maybe just a choice I'm not going to turn the television on this evening. I'm just going to sit in my chair and I'm going to be still before the Lord and I'm going to ask him to speak. If he is a God who speaks, would we be a people who listen? Lord, left to our own ideas, we stumble and fall. Lord, how to reach this area, how to pray for our family, how to make business decisions. Lord, my human intellect is no match. But God, I want to be a man who hears and listens. Lord, this church, I believe, wants to be a church who hears and listens. Lord, would you grow this church body into being more than theologically accurate? Would you grow this church body in being spiritual, in waiting on and hearing, being still before you and listening to the God who speaks? And we will give you all the thanks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.